Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of the Short Term Show. Today, we have a very exciting guest. You're probably familiar with her if you're a Bigger Pockets listener. And today, we have Kathy Fetke. How's it going, Kathy?
Wonderful. Happy to be here. Love talking about short-term rentals and real estate in general.
Well, we are very happy to have you. So first off, let's just introduce you to our audience in case they're not familiar. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into real estate investing.
Yeah, I'm the founder of Real Wealth. I am from California. So 20 years ago, you know, it was like, how do you do this? And is it possible? And in California, it really was pretty tough to invest in real estate. So I created the Real Wealth to kind of find out how we can invest outside of California and how to become good at investing out of state.
Everybody loves to talk about not investing in California.
Yeah. Even though I have three short-term rentals here and they...
Oh, you do?
So where good. Yeah.
Oh, they're good?
So good. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Where are they? Tell us about those.
Complete accident, really. we bought a house and we built a house in where I live in Malibu, which is a beach town. And as you might not know, but it's stayed very rural. And that's why it's so beautiful. It's beaches and mountains. And a lot of celebrities live here. So they've had the kind of power and clout to keep it very low built. There's like three hotels here. But it's a super vacation place. Where we got our land is just outside the Malibu city limits. It's in LA County, but you've probably talked about this on other shows. Sometimes when you're just outside of a metro area, but close enough to everything, it's different rules that are maybe better, but people still can stay there to go enjoy the amenities. So we're like three houses away from the city of Malibu, and there's so little, there's so few hotels, and there were so few short-term rentals that we just are booked all the time.
Awesome. So I would like to hear, because Malibu is like an ultra luxury market. Yeah. And so that seems unattainable for a lot of people. But I want to hear, you know, how much that costs to build and how much you make on a short-term rental in Malibu, because I don't think I've ever met anybody in all of our 10 years of short-term rental goings on that had one in Malibu.
Yeah. I mean, my timing, right? Timing is everything. But we found land in 2018. And I don't know if you recall, but in 2018, there was a little pause in the housing market. Anytime there's a pause, anytime there's fear, you want to really dig in and understand the fundamentals, because that could be your opportunity. And it was back in 2018 that the Fed was raising rates. If you recall, President Trump at the time had an argument with the Fed and he's like, reverse it. And they eventually did. But in that moment, there was like 6 months where rates were going up. And the housing market just stalled. And in a market like Malibu, where we're talking about millions of dollars in homes, you can see drops of that amount. I mean, like, it fluctuates a lot in these high cost markets. So we found a piece of land. We just drove by it because we actually bought our little house in Malibu for $750,000. We bought a piece of land for $200,000. So it's kind of surprising what you can find in certain pockets of expensive markets. But this was a parcel of land that we kind of put a lot, we like emptied some accounts, some savings, some retirement accounts, because we're like, this is a good deal. We knew it was just, it's like a mile from the beach, but it's hard to build in Malibu. And so a lot of people won't do it. But when we found the parcel, we're like, this is too good of a deal. We sent our builder down to the county and they said, it's actually shovel ready. Everything's been approved. You're good to go. Probably wouldn't have bought it otherwise because it's hard to get permits. What it came with is a guest house. So we actually moved into the primary. It's very hard to find a property that has a guest house in this area because they're very restrictive. We just thought, let's see, right by the time we got it built, it was 2020. and COVID had hit. And we thought, well, let's just try this thing called short-term rentals. We hadn't really done it before. We put it on the market and holy moly, it was just booked every night. It's been crazy.
Are you having trouble trying to decide which market to buy in? No problem. That's just one of the many live sessions we offer in Short-Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know about buying and managing short-term rentals from anywhere in the world, right at your fingertips. You'll also get early access to our world-famous Management Monday sessions, live each and every Monday. Don't delay. Turbocharge your generational wealth today. Join us at stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com for a live call with more info on Short-Term Shop Plus.
That's awesome. I love to hear stories like that where people just happen upon something in an area that they know and yes. are really successful. And I think that that's a big mistake that a lot of newer investors make today, because everybody's trying to find that place that nobody's invested before. And I don't know why they, I mean, I do know why they think there will be less competition and they'll make more money, but they'll pick these random markets that they know nothing about. And then they won't be successful because they don't understand who goes there and why and when. So I really do think, you know, you have to know the market that you're buying in to be successful with a short-term rental. And I mean, if you live there, you probably do know it.
Yeah. And I knew that, that there's kind of a funny thing about Malibu where the beachfront homes, I mean, you've probably seen the news, Beyonce and, you know, Steve Jobs' widow, they've been couple hundred million on their homes that are literally just a couple miles away, but they're on the beach. So you have a very different real estate beachfront, which you just add a zero or two onto the price tag versus the canyons that are a mile up a hill. It gets even prettier because we're up. So we have beautiful views, but from a local's perspective, it's less desirable because it's not on the beach. We like it more because I don't really want strangers in my front yard. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I had friends come and visit, and there's this one beach I love with great surfing. And, you know, there's celebrities just that live right there. And my friend went up the stairs. He's like, I'm just going to go meet this person, and did.
Like, oh my goodness.
I would not, if I were that rich and famous, I would not want people to be able to access me.
I would be like, oh my gosh, what are you doing knocking on my door? And I do think about that. Like when I walk on the beach here in Florida and I'm just looking at people's houses, I think like, well, if I were somebody who wanted to do something bad, like steal everybody's stuff, you could just walk right up there. And I would be I would hate having houses. I'd love to be on the beach, but I would think about at nighttime when I wake up in the middle of the night, is someone outside my door? Because they could be.
Yeah. I mean, my daughter used to babysit for some of these people, and we'd have to go help her because she'd be all alone in this glass house on the beach that anyone could look in. And yeah, she hated it.
So. Oh my goodness. But it is good real estate. It is nice, pretty real estate. Well, I love that you own something up there and you found a way, again, in a very expensive market to do this in a less expensive way and be successful. I also think a lot of people will just look at a market and say, oh, it's too expensive, and just move on when they could have potentially found a deal if they stuck with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still burring. I'm not burring. I'm still house hacking. We started investing 25 years ago, house hacking, which I'm sure your audience understands, but I'll just explain. It means that you have roommates, basically. And we found a house before we even knew what that was 25 years ago. And then when we first got married, and I remember looking at it saying, you know, I can carve this up. I can make it a fourplex where we're not even sharing kitchens. I would just put in a toaster oven and a microwave and a little refrigerator, and that was the kitchen. I turned our first house into a fourplex, and we had friends live there, and it was great. It was awesome. It helped me actually kind of live there for free. Here I am 25 years later. Don't necessarily have to house hack like I did then, but I kind of do because it is expensive. Even though I bought cheap, we built before prices went up, before there was inflation, and we refied it, you know, a low, like 3% rate. So timing was really on my side there. I could definitely not afford this place today. But, you know, even at the time, people don't realize how scary it is when you do these things at the time, not really knowing if the timing's right. But now that we Airbnb this little guest house, it pays for everything. Like it, I still am kind of living for free in Malibu. And then I took the next level, which I think is rare, but probably not for your audience. But we took Rich's mom to Europe for 2 weeks because it was her dream vacation. And that was always on my bucket list. How can I take my parents on their, you know, dream vacation while they're still able? And it was expensive. And I just looked at my husband. I said, would you consider putting our main house on the short-term rental? He's like, no. I said, well, I'm going to do it anyway because I'm a supportive wife. And I was like, I promise I will put on, I will make sure they can't automatically book, you know, I want to see who they are. And sure enough, you know, we ended up renting it for 2 weeks. He agreed when he saw how much we could get. And that paid for our entire Europe trip. So I'm all about it. I love it. And it was weird. You know, it's weird having someone stay in your home. But when you see the check, then maybe you could get over that.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I think you might have unlocked a new like subset of short-term rental investing in like the ultra luxury house hack short-term rental.
A lot of people do it here. Yeah, a lot. It before Airbnb and before there was even such a thing as short-term rental, it was just called vacation rental.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And that's been around forever, right? And in luxury places, ski resorts, beach towns have been doing it forever, you know, but it would go through an agent. It would go through a company that specialized in vacation rentals. So when we first moved here, before Airbnb was a thing, even before it even existed, people would have agents in Malibu, and they would leave all summer. They would just rent out their place June through August. And these are wealthy people. You know, you'd think that they wouldn't do that, but they would because it paid for everything. It paid for everything. Like, you don't realize when you own a large property, and ours is 5 acres, how much it costs, you know, like just in landscaping and water and there's so much overhead. That, you know, it's kind of nice. And that's what people would do here. They would just like get all their expenses paid for just by leaving town for 3 months.
I mean, that is not a bad life. I wonder where they go for 3 months. They go to New York or.
Oh, they probably go to Hawaii outside.
Well, I mean, that's definitely a niche here. The ultra luxury house hack short-term rental. I love it. I think it's great. So let's talk about your other types of real estate, because I want everyone to understand what a prolific real estate investor you are and, you know, what other types of real estate you have, you know, how long you have been doing it, a long time, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, just all the other little pieces.
Yeah, sure. So like I said, 20 years ago, I was living in California. I figured out I still am, but in Northern California, which is even more expensive. And you don't get much for it. You can have $1 million house and it sure doesn't look like one. But, you know, we were just young, just married, and we'd managed to house hack our way into real estate. But, you know, we're sharing with 3 other families, not totally ideal, although we did enjoy because it was friends. But when I, when Rich, I probably heard this story, when my husband, he's a redhead, he went to have his skin checked and found out he had melanoma. The doctor told him it probably is too late to save him, and he probably had 6 months to live. It's a shocking story. I had 2 very young kids. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't. I'm not even going to stop and think about this, that the doctor's wrong. I'm just like, the doctor's wrong. But I wanted to give Rich a break and let him get off the treadmill that he'd been on. He'd been providing for us. I was a stay-at-home mom. My career had been in broadcasting. So I fired that up again. I was like, I'm going to take my little radio show in San Francisco and turn it into my desperate quest to understand how to make passive income, how to take over the finances as a stay-at-home mom. I wanted to be there for my family during this difficult time, but also, you know, like forgot how to make money. A lot of people don't realize when you're a stay-at-home mom, you can be kind of become irrelevant, I guess, is the best way to say it, pretty quickly, because the world changes so fast. It's hard to get back in, so into the work world. So I just thought, I'm going to use my skills, which is broadcasting, and find out how people create this magical thing called passive income that I know nothing about, but want to learn. So I just fired up my real estate, it was just a radio show. It was before a podcast, and just started interviewing people who had created it. And that's when I had Robert Kiyosaki on the show. And he said, and again, this is like 2005. And he said, you've got to get out of California and these sand states, Florida, California, Arizona, Nevada, because prices had really like gone up 40% every year. It was crazy because of those easy mortgages back then. And he goes, you know, the safety is Texas, because they have very strict lending laws because of the S&L crisis of the 80s, the banking crisis they had. They didn't allow some of those crazy loans. And they also had, because they got so affected by the S&L crisis and the oil crisis in the 70s, they decided to not be dependent on oil and make it a very attractive place to do business. They were offering, this is, you know, Texas for sure is known about this today, but people didn't know back then. And it was like, they were offering tax credits for businesses to move there. And Kiyosaki explained it on the show. So I was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much. There's so much sense. There's job growth, population growth, but the housing costs are still really low. So I jumped on a plane, figured out, like you said, know your market. Even though I didn't live there, I learned the market. I spent a week there in Dallas, just meeting with property managers, one or two every day, just to understand where is rental demand? Where are the jobs? What are the rental rates? What do people want? You know, what kind of property? And I learned so much that I came home with 5 properties, not because we were wealthy at all, but we were struggling. Remember, we were going through this difficult time. By the way, Rich is healthy today. The doctor was wrong. He did survive that. But back then you could get, and don't blame me, just blame the market. Back then you could get no money down investor loans and unlimited amounts. So
oh my goodness.
I could come home with 5 properties, no money down, and they cash flowed.
So oh my goodness.
How does that work? But it did. So I talked about it on my radio show. Of course, my phones blew off, the blowing up with people saying, yeah, I want a no money down property in a fast growing market that cash flows. That's how Real Wealth started. That's how our company started is, oh, people just need handholding. They need to have access to your team. They want to help you share the information you have on the market. That's what we still do today. We have like 15 markets that we promote today.
I'm still on the no money down investor loan. Like I was wasting time being in ninth grade when I should have been buying real estate.
What were you doing in ninth grade?
Dang. You know, what really does kill me though, I went to UT Austin and I was bartending on 6th Street downtown. And a lot of the bartenders who were a few years older than me were buying these $70,000 houses in East Austin. And I totally could have bought one of those. It just never occurred to me to buy a house when it wasn't going to be like my forever home, like what my parents have. Yeah. And those are worth $1.5 million today. And I could have bought one a year and house hacked them. And I like, whatever, I'm fine with where I am, but I just look back and see so much opportunity.
This is probably why I am so fanatical about it and about women leadership too, because as a little girl, you know, talk about prices going up. I was born and raised in the Silicon Valley before computers, right? So I could have bought homes for $50,000 in Menlo Park, in Atherton, in the most expensive place in the world right now. And my mother, of course, I was like 2, but I remember my mother saying to my dad, who was a dentist, Doug, we should buy a few of these little homes. And my dad would be like, oh, Barbara, you know, that's crazy talk. Who's going to manage them? You know, but if my dad had listened to my mom, I would be a trust fund kid and I would be a mess. So it's probably good. It's probably good.
Yes. Well, like they say, the best time to buy real estate was always yesterday. And the second best time is today.
Today. Yep.
If you want to buy a short-term rental in one of the best vacation markets in America, you're looking for the Short-Term Shop. They are the experts in the vacation rental space. Their team of realtors are fantastic. And if you use the Short-Term Shop to buy your home, you'll have access to free classes with me to teach you how to get your property up and running. Join us at theshorttermshop.com, brokered by EXP. Short-Term Shop Plus has live and recorded sessions on the following topics: creating compelling listings, marketing your STR property, setting up a new listing, managing from a distance, finding and acquiring your first or next STR, live revenue management audits with the pros, analyzing an STR for gross revenue. All of this and much, much more is now available at your fingertips with Short-Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know to have success in the world of vacation homes and STR. Please join us at stsconsultation.com. That's stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com to learn more.
Well, speaking of today, let's talk about your book that you have coming out. I don't know if you mentioned in your intro that you do host one of the shows on Bigger Pockets On The Market, and you have a new book coming out through Bigger Pockets. So let's hear about that.
Yeah, I was so happy that Bigger Pockets came to us. Well, first of all, I was so honored to be invited to be a host of On The Market. It's such a fun podcast. We love it. And then Bigger Pockets asked me to write a book, and they had tested the market. And Bigger Pockets has, I think they reached 3 million followers or something like that. They tested their market and said, what do you know, what's the next book you want? One was probably, I forget what it was, but the second one was how to manage a business. Because once you find success at something, you go from doing it yourself and wearing 20 different hats to suddenly having to hire people, and your skill set has to change. And it's very hard for an entrepreneur to make that change, which is from doing everything and being great at it to being a leader and empowering other people to do it for you. It is such a difficult transition, and most don't make it. Most can't figure that out. So we wrote the book to kind of share the challenges we went through in that process, and to be able to create a cash flowing business. So we all love cash flow property, but what about a cash flowing business? I can tell you today, I'm not going to put this out there. I could get hit by a bus, but no, let's not say that. I could go away on vacation for a couple of years and nothing would change within our business. It is so well run by the people in it because of the systems that we put in place, mainly Rich. I'm not going to take very much credit for this, because it was back in 2008, I begged him to be my partner because I was getting so overwhelmed. I'd grown too quickly, didn't know how to run a business, didn't know how to hire people, didn't know how to fire them, didn't know anything. And he had a business degree. And I was like, can you please, he's a business coach. I was like, you've been coaching all these other companies. Can you coach me? And he's like, absolutely not. You're uncoachable. Okay. Well, can you be my partner? And he's like, I don't know. Can our marriage survive that? And like, well, let's try. And, you know, we've learned a lot in that regard too, which we put in the book of like, how do you do this and still have a fabulous personal life? So hopefully that will help other people in that process.
Awesome. Yeah. I wish I would have had this book about 10 years ago as someone whose business partner is her husband, because we've learned the hard way a few things too. And,
I write about one of our first employees was an event planner, and I had a client contact us and say, you know, she's putting on other events too in her business signature. And it's something you would never even be able to find on OnlyFans. Let's just say that. Yeah, we've been through it all. So we kind of share in the book the process to get to really attracting these people that will run your company and run it better than you. And it's a process for sure. But let me tell you, I'm a perfect example of somebody whose face was all over Real Wealth. Like if you heard of Real Wealth, you thought Kathy Fetke, that I was all over it. I'm on the podcast. I'm all over the newsletter. A business needs to run without one person being the face of it, because if you ever hope to sell that business someday, and someday you might want to, you know, they're not going to buy it, because without you in it, it's not going to operate. And that's what so many people discover, is they've been kind of this one-stop shop. They do everything, and the company couldn't function without them. So no one's going to buy it. And there will be a day when you're done. You don't want to do it anymore. So learning to kind of take yourself out, and even your name, we haven't gotten that far yet, but to have it, Real Wealth, just to run on itself without Kathy Fedke is the next goal. But right now it does mostly run on its own.
All right. Love it. And when is it out yet, or does it come out shortly?
The book Scaling Smart comes out September 10th, but you can pre-order, as you know, and we have, I don't know when this podcast is coming up, but we have a book launch party in Denver this Sunday, where the Bigger Pockets headquarters are. I rented out a whole rock climbing gym for, Scaling Smart. We're going to all scale.
Awesome. That sounds so fun. Well, we'll definitely have the link for that in the show notes, listeners, so that you guys can be sure to pick it up. And I just want to take a minute to say, Kathy, you probably don't even know this, that I think this about you, Kathy, is one of the most genuine people in real estate. So the first time that I met Kathy was at a speaker dinner for a conference that we were both speaking at, that they had all the speakers come to. And I almost didn't go because I was like, man, I hate going to these things. It's just like a bunch of people jerking each other off about whatever they're doing. Like, look how cool I am. Look at what's your offer? Like, if the conversation starts with what's your offer, I'm immediately like blank. That particular one, Kim Kiyosaki happened to be there, and I walked in and everybody is like falling all over themselves trying to be sitting next to Kim Kiyosaki. And I'm like, that is a mess. I'm going over to this table over here, which you happen to be at. And our table just talked about being moms all night. Nobody talked about this or that, or there was no chest beating or anything. We were all just, and all of us were at different stages of motherhood too. And we just had this great conversation about our kids. And it was like, we were not even at a real estate thing. And it was so refreshing after so many real estate things of having to listen to everybody like one up each other. It was just a nice dinner where everyone was so genuine.
I love that, because remember, that's, it's why I got into it. Was to spend more time with my kids and be there for the family. We literally flipped the whole model in our book, Scaling Smart, upside down, where we call it Scaling Smart because I wanted to compare it to smart stuff, your smartphone, your smart home, which is designed for your preferences. So we flipped the model upside down, where we don't spend the first chapter talking about your business at all. All I want to know is why. Why are you doing it? And most people go into business or real estate for freedom and to spend time with the people they love, and then very quickly forget that. And then this ego thing takes over, and this money obsession. And that does not, I can assure you, it does not bring happiness. I live in Malibu where there's plenty of money, and I've never seen such depression among the families, among the children. The children of the wealthiest families in the world would come to our little tiny condo that we rented when we first got here, because I was there making smoothies and hanging out with the kids and answering their questions about the difficulties of life. They didn't have anyone. So money is not the answer. So the first chapter is literally like, what do you really want? And until that's defined, what your values are and what matters to you, there are too many temptations in this world that will take you off track. And if you are not super, super clear, let me tell you, you might end up with kids who don't, like the kids in Malibu who would tell my daughters, they don't want anything to do with their families. They don't want to hang out with them. Where my kids are always home, they're always home when they want to be, because I made it a priority. I made them a priority. So that's all I can say. There's a lot of temptation, but get your values and your priorities straight, and then have the business support that. That comes first. The business supports that versus the, we give up everything for that business and then realize now we're overweight, we're unhealthy, we've lost our, our relationship with our partner and our kids.
I think that that is, again, such a refreshing take on a real estate book, because people get so caught up in the cash flow and the hacks and the here's my 12-step process for you to be rich in 20 seconds. And rich really is the opposite end of that spectrum of being able to do what you want to do with your family and being able to prioritize and not making so much money that you then are so, you think it's to prioritize your family, but then you're so sucked into the making of the money and the scaling the business that you then lose sight of why you did it to begin with. So I think that's really important. I'm glad that's in your book.
Yeah. I mean, the whole, like, somebody just came up to me at the conference I was this weekend and said, how many doors you had? And I just kind of looked at her and I said, why didn't you ask me how many free hours I have to do the things I want? Who cares how many doors I have? I don't care. I don't have that many. I really don't. I don't want a lot of work and a lot of headaches. I want free time. That's what I want. So I've picked things like short-term rentals, cash flowing properties in high growth markets to free up my time. One of my favorite clients is the one that came to me and said, I want to be an artist. How can you help me do that? And I looked, well, what are your expenses? It's like, oh, it's $3,000 a month. Yeah. And he's like, you know, living cheap to free up his time. We were able to get him there in 6 months. And then he became a full-time artist. That is wealth to me. That's far wealthier than the person that I meet who says, I have 2,000 doors, but you know, what else do you have? Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah. Well, one more question that I want to hear your take on before we get to the last three questions of the show is, you are always very knowledgeable in your posts about what's going on economically with interest rates and things like that. So right now we're sitting at the beginning of September of 2024. All signs are pointing to a Fed rate drop in the next few weeks at their next meeting. But I'd love to hear, you know, what your advice is for investors right now who might be interested in buying something. Because it looks like rates are going to drop. We're coming into an election, which all I mean by that is everybody's in this like wait and see mode, which what's going to happen, no matter who gets elected, is you're going to wake up the next morning after the election and you're going to go on with your life. And the wait and see part will be over. But everybody does this big wait and see thing before elections in terms of big purchases. So I'd love to hear your take on where we are in the market and what your advice is for real estate investors right now.
Well, I'm a contrarian, so I like to go against the grain. I don't like competition. I don't want to be the 19th offer on a property. So we've been extremely active over the past 2 years. I started a single family rental fund, raised, $8 million for that we could buy distressed property, fix it up and put it on the rental market. These are properties that a first time buyer could never have bought because they were really didn't have kitchens or whatever. They were in tough condition. But we, as soon as I knew rates were going up, and the market paused, we dove in because everyone else was frozen. So it's really important to understand these Fed pivots. Back then, the Fed pivot was, oh man, we've had too easy, cheap money. It has blown up markets. We're going to tighten. Tighten meaning there's not going to be as much of money available and it will be more expensive. Well, the Fed pivot is happening again in the other direction. So we're going back to easier money, cheaper money. What does that mean? Historically, that's meant stimulus. That's meant when money's cheaper and more available, asset values tend to go up. So I personally think there's a tiny little bit of window right now where people are still scared. They're still freaked out. They've got this election looming. Elections, listen, I've been through a lot of them. It doesn't matter who's running the show. Real estate has done really well over the past 40 years, 50 years, look at, just type in real estate prices, single family housing prices over the last 40 years, and you'll see it doesn't matter who was in charge. So I don't care about the election, but what I do care about is that other people do, which gives me opportunity. And so I do feel like there's a month of really great opportunity, but rates, mortgage rates have already come down. They are, the market has already priced in these rate cuts in terms of mortgage rates. We've already seen rates come down. So all the data we're seeing in the news right now is from a couple of months ago when rates were higher. So again, it has people confused because they're looking at old data versus what's next. What's next is rates coming down. And in my opinion, with the lack of supply in the single family, you know, 1 to 4 unit housing, it's going to be mayhem again. Every time rates go down, sales go up. So if you don't want a lot of competition, now's the time to get in. In terms of commercial real estate, the rate cuts will help those who are in really in a bad in bad shape in commercial property, because those loans are adjustable. So the Fed cutting rates will help the commercial real property world. But as far as mortgage rates, that's more tied to the bond market. Unless we see a lot of job losses, we won't see mortgage rates come down a whole lot more. And I'm not hoping for more job losses.
Right. All right, Kathy. So we're to the last three questions of the show that we ask all of our guests. And the first one would be, or is, what advice would you give 20-year-old Kathy?
There's like 6 guys I would tell her not to date.
All of those, yes.
Okay, there's that. But 20-year-old Kathy, wow, just believe in yourself more. You have a voice. Research, don't believe, don't be gullible, get the facts, get the data. And you have value. You have tremendous value.
Good advice. And I kind of already just asked this question, but we're going to ask it again. What advice do you have for, let's say, a brand new real estate investor who's looking to get started today?
An investor trying to get started today needs to understand that it's hard, but it's never been easy. It's always been hard to get into real estate, and there does need to be some sacrifice, I guess is the best way to say it. I house hacked. I had people living in my home. I parceled it off so that we weren't sharing a kitchen and bathrooms and stuff. But, you know, there's just kind of this sentiment that things should be easy. It's never been easy. Even when homes were $50,000, $60,000 when I was young, my dad was a dentist and it was hard for him to buy an $80,000 house. Back then, you had to put a bigger down payment on, and there weren't all the programs in place. You could put 3% down on a property today for your primary residence. There's no excuse. Just, you know, there's plenty of ways to get in. And through your show and Bigger Pockets, you hear people every day who are doing it. So don't be a victim. There's always up. It's always difficult, but you can overcome it. You can do it. If it matters, if you don't get into assets, you will be left behind. So you got to do what it takes to get into assets.
I agree with that. I'm still hurting over the 0% down investment.
Yeah, 3% is not bad though. 3% no, not bad. Right, 0% right. Was better.
All right, Kathy, last question. What is your favorite book that's impacted your mindset?
The Science of Getting Rich was a game changer for me. I know I've said it a few times on this podcast, but mindset is everything. If you or I lost all of our money, we'd probably build it back pretty quickly because we know how. So, and we believe we can. The people who make a certain salary could lose their job and go get another job with that salary because they know how. So mindset is everything. And The Science of Getting Rich helped me to overcome the blocks I had about being wealthy. I didn't know anyone who was wealthy, even though my dad was a dentist. He had 5 kids. We were never wealthy. I wore hand-me-downs my whole life until I could get a job at 16 and buy my own clothes. So, you know, we're not necessarily born with a wealth mindset. So until you have that in place, it's going to be really hard to build wealth. So Science of Getting Rich.
All right. Great one. And very last thing before we go, if our listeners want to follow you, find you, how can they do that?
Realwealth.com is our website. It's free to join. We have free webinars. That's always been our mission, is to increase the financial intelligence of everyone. Because until you know, like I said, how to make money, you won't know how to make money. So realwealth.com. And then my podcast is The Real Wealth Show and Real Estate News for Investors.
All right. Thank you so much, Kathy. What a great talk. And I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Well, thanks for having me on.